Podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is your New Constructs Weekly Market Update. Visit us at newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor, and market veteran, David Trainer.
If you're not ready for a market meltdown now, when will you be ready? The IMF just cut global growth forecasts. China came in below consensus. Europe's got all kinds of problems. Yes, the U.S. is the only bright spot. But we can't win this race. We can't carry the load all by ourselves. I'm not saying the markets are going to completely implode and we're going to have Armageddon. But I am saying the volatility that we've seen back in December, here in January, it's here to stay for a while. Volatility is also a euphemism oftentimes for a downward market, right? Because the non-volatile market is one that goes up nicely for such a long time. And we've been through many, many periods of that. Look, I saw it in the 90s when I was on Wall Street, early 2000s as well. The first several years of New Constructs, nothing but upward moving markets. We've had a couple brief, I would even call them crashes, quick corrections, wouldn't even correction because it was just so temporary. Overall, in general, markets have moved strongly upward. And in this last strong upward movement, we've been buoyed by artificially low interest rates. That's right, artificially low interest rates, which I explained in a prior podcast, means that a lot of capital has been underperforming or misallocated because the bar for performance is lower in order to make profits when interest rates are lower, and a lot of capital is going to go after that lower bar instead of going after higher performing activities. So volatility is here to stay. Growth is just not going to be as solid or strong as we want it to be. Right? Despite all this terrific improvement in the unemployment rate, wage growth still isn't there. That's a harder number to fudge. People have been skeptical about where the unemployment rate's been for a while, and I'm not saying that the numbers are cooked completely, but they're overstating the case. So the takeaway here is, if you're not ready for a volatile stock market now, when? And you know what it means to be ready, right? It means you got to do more than just trust your charts, more than just trust your technical trends, because those things are like musical chairs. They're good until they're not. They're good until the music stops. And only then do you really understand what drives stock prices. And that, at the end of the day, my friends, is good old cash flow. Real cash flows. Not the stuff you see on income statements, not the stuff you see in a cash flow statement, but only the stuff you see when you look at the full financial picture. If it were so easy that all you need to do is glance at a press release, well, then everybody would be doing it, and everyone would be making money, and everyone would be investing the same way. Listen to the greats, the Warren Buffetts, the Ben Grahams. They mention cash flow. They assume that you understand that that's based on real research. I know in a prior podcast I talked about, you know, how do you find good research? How do you determine good research? Everyone assumes that if it comes from Wall Street, they've done their diligence on the footnotes. They've actually gone through and assessed all the little things, all the little accounting loopholes that allow companies to overstate profits in the income statement. Don't assume that. What you should assume with every Wall Street report is that the analyst is getting paid because he's supporting the bankers. Because that's true. Research businesses. Anyone have a guess about how much research businesses make for investment banks? How much revenues does the equity research department at any one of the Wall Street banks bring in? Anyone? Try zero. It's a cost center. How much money do the bankers and the traders bring in? All of it. So who do you think the bosses are? Why do you think in down markets, the first people to be let go are, you guessed it, research analysts? Right? If you haven't yet, take the time to read the disclaimers at the end of one of those Wall Street reports. Please. Trust me. We've specialized in reading all the fine print. That's some of the classic best material. Take a moment. Read what they may or may not be doing. Read how much they may or may not be conflicted. Oh yeah, they put that disclaimer at the end of every report. So you never know which one it really applies to. That's helpful. All right, and that's because there's the law of disclosure that generally guides what the Securities and Exchange Commission tells people to do. As long as it's disclosed, buyer beware. It's on you, buyer. It's not on Wall Street. How do you think they've gotten away with as much as they've gotten away over the years? Shall we count the ways that Wall Street has fleeced people in the past? And don't just blame the companies like Enron. They were in cahoots with Wall Street. Many, many instances over the past several years. The global research settlement that Elliott Spitzer pulled off back in 2000. $10 billion fine. As I told you in other podcasts, the big 10 banks that took that fine, they made that much in a month. It was nothing to them. But the fine was for the fact that the research analysts that were writing these glowing research reports for the IPOs, they're getting paid based on how big the IPO was. So, of course, they're incentivized to talk the company up in their report. But in private to their friends, writing emails that they couldn't believe anybody was stupid enough to invest in that piece of blank. That's a quote. That happened. And if you don't think similar stuff is still happening, you're naive. So protect yourself. Do the research. Read the fine print. Know what's really going on. Understand that the footnotes are where the good data goes to hide. Why do you think annual reports are on average 200 pages long these days? Got to do your diligence. Understand cash flow. And when you understand the real profitability of the business, only then can you think about valuation. If you think the company's a lot more profitable than it seems to be, well, you're kidding yourself. You're thinking about the company being really profitable, high margins, right? But you don't know the real margins. You don't know the real profit margin. And that's why the valuations of these companies can be so out of whack. Because people are looking at the wrong profit number, thinking the business is that much more profitable and growing at a rate with profitability. And you compound high growth, high profitability, and you deserve some, and companies deserve some aberrational, anomalous high valuations. Like a LinkedIn, like a Workday, like a NetSuite, like a CRM. They deserve it. If those profits are real, and most of the time they are not. So it's a matter of time before they come crashing down. And if you want a seat when the music stops, well, you make sure you do your diligence and you prepare. Nobody's going to be able to do it for you. Ask your advisor how he or she is protecting you from what might be buried in the footnotes. Please. You do both each other a favor. Because then you'll both understand what kind of risk you're really taking. If you're a self-directed investor, find some good research. Don't just trust those charts. Why do you think that all of the major online brokers provide everybody with technical research? Because it's easy and cheap and just easy and cheap to put out there. I mean, that's you know, it's just a couple of programs to track stock price charts. Anyone can do it. So for you to believe that it affords you some sort of competitive advantage, that you've got technical research on your side, when everyone else has it, I don't understand how that's an advantage if everyone else has it. So if you want to protect your money, you want to protect your portfolio, you want to deal in an increasingly complex and globally interrelated markets, then you better read the fine print. You better do the diligence. Because the days of easy money are over. We've seen them going on for a long time. Shoot, when I was marketing new constructs in the mid-2000s, like 2005 to 2007, 2004 to 2007, it was a joke. Institutional money managers, try all the big name firms, you name it, I went to visit with them. And yeah, a few of them were customers, but I was always dumbfounded by how many people I met with who told me they didn't think cash flows mattered. They didn't think return on invested capital mattered. These are guys in charge of billions with advanced degrees. One of my friends from the tech bubble, a good friend of mine, was a very senior person in one of the largest money management firms in the world, was a big fan of new constructs, was excited about getting a lot of people in his firm on board, admitted to me once, right around that time I was just mentioning, 2005, 2004, that he was literally embarrassed about how many people in his firm that were portfolio managers were basically just traders. They weren't doing their diligence. They weren't really investors. They were speculators. And he said, don't get me wrong, though. They're making us a lot of money. And it was true. For a long time, that worked. And has worked. But interest rates are going to start going up. The water is coming out of the pool. We're going to see who's doing their diligence. We're going to see who's wearing their swim trunks and who's not. The water is coming out of the pool. Interest rates are coming up in the United States. They're not going down anymore. The cracks in the global system are starting to show. These European countries that have been trying to fake it until they make it, they can't do that. We can in the United States because we've got people that are willing to work really hard. They're willing to generate high returns on capital, to bust their tails, to do what it takes to be super successful, to go after the challenging, tough businesses that generate high returns on capital, even if interest rates are low. We don't care how low the hurdle is. We're still going to jump as high as we can. We have that in the United States. They don't have that in the rest of the world. That's why we're going to be okay and they're not. But unfortunately, it puts a cap on how much more our market can go up. And let's face it, it's been a good couple of years. It's been a really good couple of years for the markets. All of this, which has been driven by super low, zero interest rate policy in the United States and around the world. And what are we seeing now? Meltdown after meltdown in different parts of the world. We can't make interest rates go any lower. So now the time of volatility is here, and I think it's going to stay, and you need to protect yourself. Diligence matters now more than ever.